In this unusual time, as we are not able to meet together, and we are happy to be able to record this message this morning, to be able to listen to it, and we hope and pray that those who are listening will worship God this morning and according to God's will, to do the best that we can until we can all meet together again. And with that in mind, we want to look at the Word of God. We want to look at Luke chapter 18 this morning. In Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31, it says, "Then he took the 12 and made and the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will deliver to the Gentiles, and be mocked and insulted and spit upon, and they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.'" Now, if we look at the passages of Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 19, and Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, we have parallel passages of the three that record this particular incident in the life of our Lord, that there are some differences because they emphasize different parts of the things that are said. And yet it's all from the same, and it's all fits together in God's will. And Jesus was trying to explain to his disciples that these words were important for them, even though they did not fully understand, as we'll talk about in a few moments. He was going with the 12 disciples, who later the Bible identifies as apostles, and they were going on their way to Jerusalem. And he took them aside, as he often did, and he began to explain to them these things that would be important to them later. They didn't understand then, but they needed to be told before, so that when it did come to them and they did see it, they would be able to understand and be strengthened in the faith. Now, they didn't fully understand until after his resurrection. In Mark chapter 10, verse 34, it says he began to tell them these things that were about to happen to him. And in fact, in chapter 18 and verse 32 of Luke, it says that they would not understand. And at verse 34, it says they understood none of these things, and the saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things that were spoken. So it was his disciples' response. Well, if you read on in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the passages where these things are found, you will find that they begin, not only did it not sink into them to understand, it caused them to begin to wonder about the kingdom, and they in fact began to argue about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They didn't understand the seriousness of the message that Jesus gave to them. So we want to look this morning for a few moments and notice what we have here concerning the things that our Lord revealed to his disciples. First of all, there was the prophetic announcement of it. Verse 31 of Luke chapter 18 says, "He took the 12 aside and said unto them." So this was not a passage or a message that had to do with the whole of the people. He simply needed them, these 12 disciples and later called apostles, to fully understand what was going to happen. He says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." That's a powerful statement of what was going to happen and who Jesus is and who he was to them in their time. They did not fully understand. Sometimes they realized that he had the power to be the Messiah, the Christ, but he wasn't always to them as they walked with him daily, and sometimes their faith wavered. And so who else could say such a thing and be telling them the truth? Well, the answer, of course, is no one. Now, there's some prophecies concerning these things that we want to look at briefly. In Psalms chapter 22, a passage that we may recognize because of what Jesus said on the cross. In Psalm 22, verse 1, it says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? From the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in daytime but you do not hear. And in the night season I am not silent." And so that passage is a prophecy, a prophetic message that Christ was going to be abandoned by his Father on a temporary time for when he went to the cross. And so we look at that and looked at down to chapter 22 and verses 7 and 8. And he says, "All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip and shake their head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.'" And that's precisely the things that were said when Jesus was hanging on the cross by the scribes and the Pharisees and others. And so the prophecies were made, and it's maybe amazing to us that those who said those things did not realize that they were in fact following and fulfilling the very prophecies that were made in the Old Testament. We turn to another one, Isaiah chapter 53, sometimes called the chapter of the suffering servant, which Jesus was the fulfillment. Now in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." We look at that and we know that that's a prophecy of Christ, because in the book of Acts in chapter 8, when Philip the evangelist went and joined himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch was reading from this very passage when Philip joined himself to the chariot there, and the Bible says as they went along the way that he preached unto him Jesus, beginning from this passage right here. And in so doing, then the Ethiopian eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized?" And Philip says, "If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you may." And he said, "I believe," and they went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. The Bible says the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And so we know that this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, that he did indeed become the one who carried our sorrows and was afflicted on our behalf. And so each one of these things, we see Jesus, the fulfillment of these things. And in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, he says, "I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look unto me who they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So Zechariah, 500 years before Christ came, prophesied that there would be those who willingly put the Messiah to death, but there are also those who would be in bitterness for themselves because of the fact that they had done these things, and others who were on his side who were trying to be of assistance, but they didn't know what to do. So all of these things were fulfilled. We know they were because in Acts chapter 3 and verse 24, the Apostle Peter said all the things that were prophesied concerning the Lord had been fulfilled. From the prophet Samuel and all the prophets that followed, he says they prophesied of these days, the days in which Jesus lived upon the earth, and when the Lord's work was begun on the day of Pentecost and the preaching of the gospel. But also there is the announcement of the sorrow and humiliation. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 32, it says, "For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon, and they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. So all the evil upon the face of the earth that came at this time was concentrated against God's anointed, God's Messiah, the Christ who is going to come. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus prophesied this concerning himself. Upon the generation that took him and nailed him to the cross, because they were going to have to suffer, or in the case of those who would later believe and obey the gospel, they would be forgiven. But Jesus pronounced this commandment and this prophecy upon them in Matthew chapter 23, verses 35 through 36. He says, upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel, the righteous, unto the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. But if you read Matthew chapter 23, all these things have to do with the final destruction of the city of Jerusalem, the taking away and the fulfilling of the law of Moses, and the destruction and death of thousands of Jews who rejected him because in 70 AD, when the Romans surrounded the city of Jerusalem, they literally killed thousands and thousands of people, exactly as Jesus had prophesied was going to happen, because they had rejected the Messiah and turned away from him and nailed him to the cross. But the object of the Lord's making of this message to his disciples was to prepare them for the coming event so that, yes, they didn't fully understand this time, but they would remember as the Spirit gave them the understanding of what had happened before and what was going to happen in their lives because of it. And so they would be able, when the time came, to endure. And if you go and study the lives of the apostles and reading the New Testament and also from other history that has been written about them, they were very faithful. And 11 out of the 12 apostles, not counting Judas and Matthias then who has replaced him, 11 of those died a death at the hands of others because of the testimony of our Lord. And John the apostle lived to a long age towards the end of the New Testament, but suffered many persecutions because of it. But they never denied who Jesus was. In fact, they preached his message. There also, in this passage, there was a hopeful announcement for them. He says, they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Again, in the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that we looked again over and over again as Jesus spoke it throughout his personal ministry, that yes, he was going to be taken. Yes, he was going to allow himself to be put to death. In John chapter 10, Jesus explained to his disciples that he himself had power to lay down his life, and he had power to take it up again. So they did not take Jesus against his will. They simply did to him what Jesus allowed them to do to fulfill his Father's plan. And again, in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, but it is plain and very simple, without fanfare, if you will, the statement that Jesus made. He says, he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spit upon, and they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. So there is the promise that is there. And the darkness of the sorrow is going to be, as someone said, the darkness of the sorrow and the night of the sorrow should be closely followed by a glorious dawn. Because yes, Jesus is going to die on the cross and shed his blood there. But on the third day, he was going to have the glorious resurrection. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 14, the Apostle Peter, speaking at that time, says, you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are the witnesses. So the grave could not hold the Lord, because he had the power of life and death. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, when Jesus was gone to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Lazarus had died, and Martha came out and said to Jesus, "If you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, he wasn't something before and he no longer was, or something he would become at a later time. But he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." He is all of the time those things. And in Revelation 1 verse 8, he said, "I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." So Jesus gave his disciples there a very strong indication and very plain and simple indication of what was going to happen. He was going to be taken. He was going to be put on trial. He was going to be condemned. He would be nailed to the cross. And when he was nailed to the cross, said they would he would be delivered to the Gentiles. He would be mocked and insulted and spit upon. And all of these things happened. Says they will scourge him and kill him. Sometimes people in that time actually died from the effects of the scourging before, even before their crucifixion, that it was so severe. But Jesus did all of these things for us. But also there is a misunderstood announcement that is here, because you go to verse 34 of Luke chapter 18. It says, "They understood none of those things, and this saying was hid from them, and they perceived not the things that were said." Now notice, in a sense, the same thing is said three times in one verse, although there is a different perspective of each one of them. It says, "They understood none of those things." So they didn't understand on their part what was happening, and they didn't understand the facts that Jesus was revealing to them. But he says then, "And this was hid from them." So even though it was told them, it was hidden. They didn't have the ability to comprehend. And so it was hidden until such time as the Lord would reveal it by the Holy Spirit, when the apostles were to receive the direction of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But also it says they understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, and they perceived not the things that were said. Perception is more than just hearing the message. It is understanding it to the point that they would be able to understand in their lives what effect it would have. So they did not perceive it either. Even though this was the third time, as far as we know, that Jesus had told them of what was going to happen. In John chapter 12 and verse 16, John, many years later, wrote, and he said, "These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him." Well, that was according to the promise of Jesus to his disciples in John chapter 16. He says, "You will not remember these things now, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will guide you into all truth and will give you a memory of these things." But there are other times also that he predicted his death. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, he says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and the third day he will be raised up." Now notice, all of the people that the law of Moses required them to respect and to be guided by in the word and in the message, he says they're going to reject him. But he says he's still going to die. He's going to be brought back from the grave. Now, if we turn for a moment to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verses 9 and 10. And here Jesus also is speaking. Spoken about him anyway. It says, "Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them they should tell no one the things that they had seen, till the Son of Man was risen from the dead." So they had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, but even his disciples, Jesus told them, don't tell anybody what you have seen until you've seen the Son of Man risen from the dead. Verse 10, he says, so they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead might mean. Now, if you go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter explains that we didn't tell anybody until we understood later after Jesus' death and resurrection. And both of these accounts were of Jesus' transfiguration at that time in Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. He was going to suffer, and yet they still did not understand or comprehend, even though Jesus had told them before. But there's also the truth of the announcement. Jesus' prediction was fulfilled in every minute detail. Jesus was mocked. He was treated with cruelty. He was nailed to the cross. He was killed, and he rose on the third day. Now, if you go now to Acts chapter 2, and the Apostle Peter, when he was speaking on that day concerning of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and their responsibility for it. In Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, it says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, and as you yourselves also know, him being delivered up by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by them. So Jesus here is set forth by the Apostle Peter as being taken and crucified by these very people. And there, even though they may not have actually driven the nails in his hands, by their actions and by their words, they were a part of that crucifixion. And by our sins, we also are, but we can be forgiven. I'll turn now, look at Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 32. He says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to the heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then verse 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. All of the prophets of the Old Testament foretold that these things are going to happen. And it was fulfilled. And again, back to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 24, on that time when Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples, he was explaining to them what had happened and why it had happened. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 44, Jesus said, then he said to them, these things are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So it was completely fulfilled exactly as our Lord prophesied, exactly as he said it would. But we look at this and we want to say, well, have the idea, what are the lessons we can gain from this particular passage? What can we gain from them? Well, first of all, that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit always keep their promises. Over and over again, if we read through the Old Testament, we will find that the Lord kept his promise to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, and all of those throughout the Old Testament. God completely fulfilled his promise. And part of the reason for the New Testament for us is to realize that what he did then, he will do for us now. He will continue to keep his promises. And the book of Romans, the Bible tells us the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we might have comfort through the scriptures. And so we learn and find that God always keeps his promises. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul the Apostle said, "According to the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal." So these are things that were promised for times eternal, not just the immediate situation, but for always and forever. Another thing we learn in this passage is that Christ willingly went to the cross for us. Again, John 10 and verse 17 says, "Therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Jesus was not crucified against his will. He did so because he fulfilled the will of his Father. Now we go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, and we find why that his resurrection is so important to us. He says, "Let us therefore also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We also may not always understand all that God wants for us, but if we trust him, he will do what's right. He has always done so. He always will for his disciples, because he is eternal. In Romans 8 and verse 28, it says, "We know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose." Now, the apostles did not understand Jesus' announcement, but he fulfilled his plan to provide them with eternal life. And the same is true for us. If you listen this morning, if there is a need in your life to come to the Lord, and you would want to understand more of those things, if you would be willing to contact us, we'll be willing to study with you. And that in doing so, we pray that you will have an open mind and heart to receive the Word of God and to believe and obey it. At this time, before we conclude, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings and for this difficult time in our life and our nation. We pray that you would be with us, that this may pass soon, and we'll be able to go to and come together again to serve and to worship and to go out and do your will. Thank you, Father, for all of your blessings. Please guide and strengthen us each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.